Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. So, hey crew, new year, new decade. Let's have some new Pure Dog Talk promos while we're at it, shall we? All right. Our patrons group continues to grow and thrive. It's like the NPR of dogdom. It's so cool. And Pure Dog Talk offers you, my loyal listeners, an opportunity to get in on the fun. Pure Dog Talk patrons are invited to join a closed Facebook chat group just for you. And I promise you, no drama mamas, no keyboard warriors, just fabulous, supportive, Pure Dog Talk fans. That's it. Each month, I pick a photo submitted by our patrons group to be the cover image on the Facebook page. You guys have seen it. And anybody with a quick question gets immediate feedback from moi, personally, as well as input from the array of patron group members. Pretty fun. The patrons group also gets first dibs on podcast topic suggestions. So if you have something you want to hear about, that's a good way to do it. And to celebrate the new year, I'm adding a whole new technological challenge to my life. Oh my God. I will be hosting Facebook Live discussions for patrons only on the final Monday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time zone.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Y'all join us from wherever you are, but that's when they'll be. Just a few of our planned topics of conversation include advertising on a shoestring budget. Yeah, trust me, we can talk about that. Campaigning a special just for owner handlers. Problem solving the stack. Tricks of the trade for grooming, like what products do I like or anybody else like. Open mic Q&As, all that kind of stuff. What you guys need to know is that the generosity of Pure Dog Talk's patrons is literally what keeps the MP3s running here. The money is set aside exclusively for overhead and operational expenses. That's it. Now, I'm incredibly grateful to our corporate sponsors. You have no idea. They have the dedication to purebred dogs and the resources to ensure that Pure Dog Talk remains a powerful voice for purebred dogs. That you guys, y'all believed in this mission, and you've supported it from the beginning. You are the heart and soul of my crusade to provide all purebred dog lovers a constantly growing, challenging treasure trove of knowledge in a 21st century format.
Like a real world.
So, just click the Be My Patron on Podbean button on the website. It's quick, it's easy, it's secure. And I hope to see all of you on the next Facebook Live chat. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I have a very exciting guest. I think you guys are going to get a real kick out of this. Beth Gordon and Kuiper, the Space Whippet, are Instagram celebrities, and the story of Beth and Kuiper and how they are reaching out to the public to promote purebred dogs and create a social media following is fascinating, and I think has lots of good ideas for all of us who are trying to do similar things. So welcome, Beth. Super excited to have you.
Thank you for having me on the show.
It's very cool. And so tell us a little bit about how you got started, how Kuiper became the Space Whippet. I mean, it's a fabulous story. Okay, first of all, how did you acquire Kuiper and what started you with a whippet? How's that? Let's start there.
Depends on how far you want me to go back. So my first dog is named Foco, and he's a little mixed rescue dog.
Mm-hmm.
I studied abroad in Ecuador about a decade ago, and this little dog followed us home from the hardware store.
Aww.
We had intended to go out and buy light bulbs, but came back with this dog. So we named him Foco, which means light bulb in Spanish.
Right.
I brought him home. You know, there's no quarantine to bring dogs into the lower 48, so it was pretty easy. He's a fantastic little dog, but around 5 years old, he herniated a disc in his back, and I learned all about IBDD. So that was exciting.
Yeah.
We had the emergency spinal surgery. We had the 6 months of physical therapy and the 6 to 8 weeks of crate rest. I decided I never wanted to do that again.
Yeah.
We've had several episodes since where he's like busted another disc and had to do the crate rest again. Fortunately, conservative treatment has been pretty successful with him, but we definitely have a special needs dog on our hands. For the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 years, we've had to express his bladder. Like, he can walk around, he's not in pain, but he's required some pretty significant care that most dogs don't. And a lot of times when we take him to the vet, if there's, like, someone new there, they're like, wow, this dog is still alive.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to do that again. So I was like, all right, I want to get a dog that I can try some sports with. I want to try obedience. I want to try agility. And I want a dog that's not likely to break his back again.
Yeah.
So I met a friend with a Whippet puppy. Her Whippet puppy was so confident and calm and healthy, and I decided I wanted to get a dog from this breeder. 3 or 4 years later, she had her next litter, and I got myself on the list and had Pick of the Boys. So that was exciting.
Very cool. Very cool. I love that story.
Yeah.
And so you do other things with Kuiper in addition to him being a space Whippet.
We do, yes. We're training for obedience and agility. I'd say obedience is our main focus, which I understand is not a traditional sport for a Whippet.
No.
But I haven't told him that, so please don't disabuse him of that notion. He's a really fun dog. He knows almost all the exercises all the way through utility. So the way our trainer does it is she trains all the way through utility before you start in novice A.
Yep.
So that you're quickly able to move from novice to open to utility without having to spend a bunch of time in between. And it keeps it more fun for the dog as well because, you know, he gets to do all sorts of things instead of just healing.
Yes.
So we've been training for that since he was 10 weeks old.
And how old is he now?
He is 3 and a half.
Very cool. Very cool. And so you have your Whippet, you're well-bred, responsible breeder, all of that. And you're doing obedience, which is crazy. And so how did he turn into Kuiper the Space Whippet on Instagram?
Well, I wanted to see what this newfangled Instagram thing was that all the kids were into. Like, the youth seemed to think it was pretty cool. I created an Instagram account for him. I had all these dog pictures. I figured it'd be good to put him somewhere else. And I wanted to learn more about social media marketing and sort of how this whole influencer thing worked. I'd seen in the news we have some pretty bad examples of influencers, and I decided we needed better role models for children.
Yes.
And I decided I wanted to do something different with a dog account and maybe do something that was informative instead of just sort of like fluffy.
Right.
So I was looking for interesting places to take pictures of him, and I came across a moon tree in Salem, Oregon, which is the capital of Oregon. I looked up what a moon tree was. It turns out they flew 500 tree seeds around the moon as part of Apollo 14 and then planted these trees all over the United States as part of the bicentennial celebration. So I thought that was a pretty darn cool story and ended up sharing more and more stories. And then I ended up bringing my dog to Kennedy Space Center for a photo shoot is kind of the short story of that.
So I want to know, did they invite you?
No, I wrote them.
Oh.
So I came across this cat account with a picture of cat in a bunch of museums. I figured it was fake because they had very nice pictures and no one's going to allow a cat to come to a museum. And then I saw they posted a video of their cat walking on a gantry and I was like, these are real pictures. I sent them a message and I said, how did you get permission to take your cat to a museum? And they said, we just asked.
Awesome.
So I started writing sort of like small museums and I sort of worked my way up to slightly bigger museums. And lo and behold, people kept saying yes. Not everyone, but I'd say I probably get like a good 80% yes rate, which has been pretty darn impressive and way higher than I thought it would be.
Right.
So now he's been to the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County. He's been to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. He's been to U.S. Space Camp. He's been to Kennedy Space Center. I've taken pictures of him with Apollo 11 at a Smithsonian exhibit. We've been to 34 states and almost 40 museums now.
Oh my gosh. In the last like 2 years.
Yes. And I also want to make it clear, he's not a service dog, so I'm not just randomly bringing my dog in a museum. I'm always getting permission from the museum, and 99% of the time we're going before hours. So we're not going to distract anyone, or hopefully we're not making anyone think that you can just bring your dog in a museum. Right. And I put a disclosure on every post that he got permission to go there. So I don't want people to just copycat and show up in a museum. I would feel horrible.
I love that. Very good. Very socially responsible. Good job.
Yeah, good try.
And so what has been the reaction to Kuiper the Space Whippet from the general public? I mean, what are you at now for, like, I don't know, influencer status? I'm not good at this stuff, so you help me.
He has over 150,000 followers. I'm starting to get little brand deals. Like, we advertised The Expanse, which is a sci-fi show on Amazon Prime. We had a lot of fun with. We've been talking to a couple of dog food companies. So I think he'll be getting free dog food this year, which is pretty exciting, about some paid sponsorship as well. I don't want to become one of those influencers that just like shills, because that's no fun for anyone. But, you know, if we can kind of support our travels with a few advertisements here and there, you know, I don't feel too bad about that.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And so talk us through this. I mean, you're the expert on this. Tell us how you did this and how other people can come up with their own ideas to get purebred dogs into the national public consciousness in a positive way.
I think, you know, sharing your story, probably the key to growing his account has just been utterly shameless self-promotion. I have business cards for him and I carry them around with me wherever I take him and just sort of pass them out. Everyone loves getting a dog business card and they cost like $20 to make. So I would encourage everyone to do this. Make a little website. You know, it's been nice sharing his story because I never was the kind of person who originally thought, oh, I'm going to get a fancy purebred show dog.
Right.
That wasn't, you know, I was kind of like, oh, I'm going to get a rescue dog and rescue all the poor rescue dogs. But after our experience with our older dog, I was just kind of like, you know, I've kind of done my time and it's okay to not want a project. So
it's okay to not want a project. Oh my God, I love that.
Kind of horrible, but
no, it is okay. It shouldn't be like socially shunned in order to want a healthy dog to be a companion.
Right. And I mean, we've spent probably as much as I spent on my college education on our older dog with his health issues. And we love him to death. And, you know, it's just been heartbreaking and exhausting having to care for him. And like, we love him and we wouldn't give him up for the world. But I just didn't want to have to do that again in the near future or foreseeable future.
Right. And so as you interact with the museums and with the people you encounter and with the people on your Instagram account, how is the reaction? I mean, do you get a lot of, why didn't you have a rescue dog? Are you able to talk about that? Is that something that even comes up in conversation?
It does occasionally come up. I think most people in the United States aren't super familiar with Whippets. Mm-hmm. So even though the account's name is Space Whippet, I get a lot of questions about what breed he is.
Well, there you go.
I mean, they're not that common. You don't see like Whippet mixes all over the place or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is kind of an interesting opportunity to explain, oh, he's a purebred Whippet. He is from a racing bred line. He's not a showed bred Whippet.
Mm-hmm.
As you can probably tell by his pointy ears and fluffy tail. And I absolutely love him. I think they should change the breed standard. But
to have pointy ears, I love it.
I love him.
I have one that can make her ears do that.
But he is a beautiful dog. He's a blue brindle.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only blue brindle boy in the litter. But I didn't choose him because of his looks. I chose him because of his personality. But I do think it's a good opportunity without sort of shoving it down people's throat.
Right.
The way that you increase representation for anything is by just sort of showing it to people and not being a big deal and not making a big deal out of it.
Not proselytizing. I like that.
Yeah, and if people answer questions, like answer nicely and sort of try and explain. Like if someone's asking you questions, you can kind of tell if they're just doing it to be combative or if they genuinely want to know, or then they're coming from a place of sort of lower information about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just try and answer their questions. You know, if someone's like actually being abusive, you can block them. But otherwise, they're probably just wanting information. And when you've kind of been fed this, like, oh, like there's so many rescue dogs and we're killing them all the time. And like, why wouldn't you get a rescue dog? My answer has been like, for some people, purebred dogs are not fungible with rescue dogs.
Right.
Like after our experience with our older dog, if the choice was getting a dog that was likely to be healthy, that I had no genetics and not getting a dog, I think I just wouldn't get a dog again.
Wow. Right.
You know, at least for the time being. Because it's just been that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people get purebred dogs for very specific reasons.
Yes.
And if you have specific activities and specific things you want to do with them, you're much more likely to be successful if you get a dog of that breed. So I knew I wanted an athletic dog. I knew I wanted a dog I could try a lot of activities with. And Whippets were right for me.
I like it. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Heads up, crew. Pure Dog Talk is thrilled to welcome Embark as a major sponsor of the podcast. So Embark Veterinary is a DNA testing service that's focused on helping breeders and purebred dog enthusiasts understand and improve the genetic health of their dogs. After using Embark's simple cheek swab process, breeders receive an easy to understand, comprehensive report on the genetic health, diversity, and the traits of their dogs. Cool. As part of this report, breeders also gain access to Embark's breeder-exclusive matchmaking tool, and that allows them to assess potential mates and better understand litter outcomes from possible breeding pairs. Extra cool. Embark makes it easy to understand your dog's DNA results by providing breeders with access to an in-house team of veterinary geneticists. Extra, extra cool for individualized genetic counseling and personalized guidance on how best to apply your dog's Embark results to your breeding program. From improving the long-term health of your breeding program to increasing genetic diversity in your breed, Embark is with you every step of the way. And so here's another question for you as you're building, you know, going back to your, I wanted to learn more about digital and social media marketing. Mm-hmm. Give us kind of a 1, 2, 3, right? So here's my start, here's my grow, here's my, you know, like that. Because here's the thing. A lot of people in purebred dogs in this world just simply don't know and don't know how and would like to, but they're kind of scared.
Sure. It's something that would maybe be difficult to sum up in like 30 seconds, but if people have questions.
No, we got 10 minutes. We're cool.
Okay. All right. Cool. If people have questions, I'm happy to talk offline as well if anyone wants to contact me. But I think the thing that you need to keep in mind is that this is a younger demographic. So most of my followers are sort of 18 to 34 and women. And the gender is probably pretty consistent with what you would see sort of in dog sports, yep. Especially sort of like more traditional dog sports, but it's definitely younger. If you think about the general public, most of them don't know that there's so many things you can do with your dog.
Mm-hmm.
They want a pet that they can take on a walk, and they might have a dog that's slightly reactive, and they may just not consider that obedience or agility are things that they could do with their dog.
Mm-hmm.
They may not consider that their dog is trainable, especially if you see mostly sort of border collies and stuff doing agility.
Right.
So I think increasing the awareness of the possibility there, and that, you know, any dog can do nose work, any dog can probably do like basic agility, assuming that they're physically sound.
Mm-hmm.
So showing them that there's potential there, showing them that you can get a purebred dog and it's not just because you want a beautiful dog to sort of trot around the show ring, that dogs are functional as well, that people aren't just breeding for appearance.
Right.
And sort of showing people why you would want to get a particular purebred dog to fit into your individual lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. And I really like the whole Instagram thing because, I mean, advertising 101, right? When I was in college, advertising 101, kids and dogs, hello, you
know? Yeah, absolutely.
And so I guess how much time does it, I guess, suck out of your day, right? Like, I mean, you know.
I've pretty much been treating this as like an extra full-time job for the last couple of years.
Oh.
And I quit my tech job because I just didn't want to do that anymore. And this is kind of what I'm doing full-time right now. I wouldn't say that I'm like raking in the big bucks or anything, but it's been a lot of fun.
Right.
And now I have my own LLC. We have Kuiper the Science Dog LLC is a legally recognized entity in the state of Oregon. So
I love that.
Yeah. Next up is getting him a bank account.
A bank account for himself.
Yeah. Once I realized he was going to be making enough money in 2020 to pay taxes, I was like, crap, I need to figure out how this whole self-employment thing
corporate works.
Yeah,
no, I can tell you about that. Yeah.
there's nothing like writing a CPA and being like, my dog needs to pay taxes. What do I do?
Right. I love that. And so, have you been able to run him in agility at all yet or any of the obedience trials? You said you're still training.
So we are in it to win it.
Yes.
So my goal is to get the second AKC Och in AKC history.
Oh.
And that means that we're not going to go into the ring till we're ready. So he knows all the exercises. His healing is coming together super duper nicely. I'm really impressed and proud of myself. But we're not going to enter the ring until we're ready to go, go, go. Until he's ready to reliably perform around all the distractions and environment.
I think it's amazing. Whippets are not always the most outgoing or known to be gregarious. And so
sure.
I think it's really impressive that he is a dog who's out there meeting the crowds and going to strange and wonderful places.
He may come across as more of an extrovert than he really is in real life.
Mm.
So he's not out there meeting crowds. But most of the time it's us and sort of some museum staff. I wouldn't make him do therapy work because he's just not that interested in like running and being best friends with every new person that he meets.
Right.
So, you know, he has some pretty intense eye contact in pictures to me, because that's what we trained him for like 8 weeks old. But he's not sort of the most outgoing, gregarious creature you've ever seen. He's not a Labrador. He's not a golden retriever, but he is sound and he can deal with new experiences. And he's very, very food motivated, which makes things easy.
I love that what you were just talking about. I think that's really smart that you're able to convey, right? Like I've seen his photos and he looks super engaged. And so you are establishing that connection with the viewer by training him for a very specific task.
Right. I think people tend to underestimate sighthounds and underestimate certain breeds. I mean, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy because the people that want to get an Och and want to win obedience, they're going to get a breed that's been proven to do that. They're going to get a golden retriever. They're going to get a border collie. Mm. And on the flip side, the people that tend to get whippets, like maybe they want to try out lure coursing or something. They don't tend to be people that want to spend like all day training their dog. They just want a fun companion that they can kind of hang out with.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of potential that's maybe untapped for certain breeds.
I did a fascinating interview with a gal who does obedience, like super high level obedience with Scottish deerhounds.
Oh, wow. Fun. Oh, yeah. I should connect with her.
Yeah, you should definitely go find the podcast. She was cool. She's on the East Coast. Super, super cool. And like generations of Och level Scottish deerhounds. Wow. I mean, even more than Whippet, Scottish deerhound.
Yeah. I mean, I think you also need to be creative about your training methods.
Right.
So you can kind of like take a golden and follow sort of an old school formula and be like, do this, you know, it has to be a good golden. You couldn't do it with necessarily like any random dog off the street. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, there's kind of a, like you read the book and follow the textbook and end up with a really well-trained dog. And if you follow that same textbook for a whippet, you may just end up with a dog that's kind of traumatized or just, you know, is not interested.
Or hates it.
Or hates it or is not interested in working with you or just doesn't want to do it. So you may have to do things a little bit more creatively and you may just need to think outside the box a little bit more.
So I want to know what your training technique was for the retrieve over the high jump, because that's something I'm pretty sure no whippet I've ever owned would be interested in.
So I actually shaped that from scratch. I shaped his retrieve, and it's probably the only behavior that I've shaped with him, because I shaped everything with our older dog and he just sort of like flings a bunch of stuff at me and has no concept of duration.
Right.
So for Kuiper, we taught everything, every duration behavior as an implied stay. So sit means sit until I release you.
Yes.
But because I shaped a retrieve my older dog, I thought I'd try it again. And I didn't want to just sort of like shove my fingers in his mouth and, you know, who knows what.
Right.
I just shaped it from scratch. And lo and behold, it ended up being a reliable retrieve because I taught it to be a reliable retrieve. We taught the jump over the high jump separately. And then we sort of put it together.
Wow.
And I was told that you could not train a reliable obedience retrieve by shaping it. And I told the instructor maybe that's because they didn't train it well. I mean, there's nothing more motivating than being told you can't do something and then going off and doing it. So,
well, to have the second Och whippet ever, I think is a pretty spectacular goal.
I understand that it's a pretty ridiculous goal. Like, we need to get through Novice A first. Who knows how far we'll get? I try and be realistic about this, but, you know,
shoot for the moon. Yes.
Yeah.
It's Kuiper the space whippet. I mean, you got to shoot for the moon.
And he enjoys it. He thinks it's a lot of fun. I mean, we try and keep it fun and exciting for him. Like, he's doing a lot of running around and chasing treats and stuff. So.
Right. Okay. So final question. What has been like your favorite story that you got to share? You were telling me you write all these long form captions for the photos, and I've seen some of them. What would be like your favorite one?
Oh my gosh. Putting me on the spot.
I know, right?
One of my favorites is the little one story that Thomas Jefferson was obsessed with mastodons.
Mastodons?
Yes, mastodons, like the ancient creature.
Yes.
Like digging up skeletons. And that was one of the things he asked Lewis and Clark to look for on their way west.
Yes.
And he ended up assembling a mastodon skeleton in one of the rooms of the White House because he was just so into it.
I've read a lot of Thomas Jefferson history simply because I did a bunch of work actually on the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Oh, how fun.
Oh, yeah. That's actually my original work in audio was writing, scripting, self-guided audio driving tours for the entire Lewis and Clark Trail.
Oh, how fun.
Yes, very fun.
That's awesome.
Very fun. Lots of cool stuff.
Did you know that about mastodons? I'll send you the story.
Yes. Well, I knew a little bit about the mastodons and a lot of the things that he wanted to do, but the whole mastodon skeleton in the White House, I'm pretty sure I missed that.
Besides that, sort of the entire story of how we got to the moon, start to finish. It wasn't like we woke up and we were like, all right, let's go to the moon. And then we went to the moon, the end. There was a lot of interesting engineering and a lot of just sort of human stories.
Yes.
We did a series of 60 posts last year, starting from the America's first satellite all the way to Apollo 11.
Wow.
Just sort of that whole process, a post for each mission and sort of all of the engineering and all of the work that went into that. And, you know, fun stories as well, like the story of the corned beef sandwich that was smuggled aboard Gemini 3. Just all sorts of stuff.
That is fabulous. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, this is sort of like 21st century. It's the same, like the podcast is 21st century way to provide education to people. This is another example. I mean, I think of that Hidden Figures, the movie.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. One of my favorite movies ever, maybe. And the incredible stories that are associated with that. So I just think what you're doing just provides so much cool crossover on so many levels.
Well, thank you. And I think it's easier to say that, oh, the moon landing was faked or whatnot when you don't have any of the context that went along with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think telling those stories is really important, getting people to think about, you know, how things happened.
Yes, I love that.
There were
that.
Hundreds of thousands of people that worked on Apollo, and they all have their own story, and it's all super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Well, I tell you what, Beth, this has been fascinating. And listeners, I'm going to challenge every single one of you. It's time for your dog to have their own Instagram. And if you're good enough at it, they'll have their own bank account. I mean, come on.
I can't promise there will be anything in the bank account.
I just love this. And I have to do an on-air shout out, actually. One of our greatest Pure Dog Talk patrons is Janet Oatney, and she is the one who told me about your story.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
We've done training together. She's a lot of fun. I think she's going to introduce me to Barn Hunt. I'm really excited.
Oh, absolutely. She's tried to introduce me. I failed. The dog was fine. I sucked.
That's the hard part. You know, the dog is always right.
Exactly. Exactly. So shout out to Janet. You are the bomb diggity girl, and this is a fabulous story.
All right, well, I guess I'm making a cake for Janet.
Yeah, definitely make a cake for Janet. All right, thanks, Beth. I really, really appreciate your time, and good luck to Kuiper.
Oh, thank you so much.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.